It is time for us to once again bring in Brian Ross. It is time for Real News. And we've just actually, Brian has come on board with us at such a great time over the past couple of months. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you. I am not shoveled out yet, just looking out the window, watching the light come up, and the snow was about 12, 14 inches.
Yeah, well, I'm looking out at the green, and the most fire hydrants, I think, are about 36 inches high or something like that. This one's covered about three quarters. So I think, yeah, 14 to 15 inches, and then it's blown around. And our meteorologist says between now and noontime, maybe another 1 to 4 inches. So.
Well, you know, with a lot of talk about the snow days, well, great, as a kid growing up, snow days were always such a treat. Here, you know, you're already home. It's a little tough.
That's exactly right. Well, let's get to the main news here. Gosh, there's so much of it. It really is a circus in Washington right about now with what's going on with COVID-19, with the financial plan that would help people. I would call it more like an automobile bailout. That's going on. The president still not going to concede. He's going to try to take it right to the House. Mitch McConnell and some Republicans coming out from under the cover. It's just been a weird, weird week once again.
I'd say it's very weird with the CNN reporting last night. I don't know if you saw it, that the president continues to throw temper tantrums about this and now starting to believe his own fraudulent lawsuits that he may have won after all. And, you know, they don't know what to do with the guy. He's acting like a toddler. And, you know, maybe I won't leave the White House. It's a sad ending to, you know, sort of a obviously hugely controversial administration. He's doing himself and his legacy absolutely no favors at all. But I guess he sees it as a way, one, to continue to raise money, which he's doing, and to, two, sort of satisfy his base with the threat, at least, that he could run again in 4 years.
Well, you know, this is the whole thing that I don't understand, and I've never been a Donald Trump supporter before he ran, since when he ran, and I've never made any bones about it. But this man, had he made a correct decision 8 months ago and just opened it up so the pandemic was dealt with then, and this man, even if he lost the election, handling it the way he's handled, it's obvious. I don't think he really wants to run again because he's counting on the 70 million people who voted for him following him no matter what he does and help financing what he does. Because I just can't see anybody self-destructing like this who wants to be president again because it goes against all norms. He can go to the House. He's not going to win in the House. The Democrats control the House, so there's no way he can turn the election with the House and Senate.
That's really over, and you know it's very hard to explain crazy, and that's what we've got here, somebody who's not thinking logically. Other than, as I've seen throughout his career, there is a bottom-line mentality to him, and I think he's worried about his finances, his company, and he's worried about what's going to happen given these investigations in New York State by the district attorney in Manhattan and by the New York State Attorney General. I think that's really on his mind because there's a vulnerability there, and if they crack into his finances and the way the company was run and filed its income taxes, it filed its insurance and bank applications. They've got real exposure there, and I think that he knows that. That has to be of great concern to him.
You know, and we look on the positive side of the thing. Even though we have I think 3,000 people a day dying from COVID-19, and we've well passed now. I think we're about 310,000 dead. The good news is that we've got one vaccine out there, another one on the way. And even though it's going to take a while, at least this portion of COVID-19 in America has turned the corner where a fight can now be had against the disease itself. But you look at the rest of the world, and once again, the poor countries, they're not even on the list to get COVID-19 until all the other rich countries use it first.
It's a real have and have not split there, and you can see it for instance, in Israel, where the occupied Palestinian territories will get any access, while all of Israel does. We see it in Africa, and we see it throughout areas in Asia that is being told they're not going to get access to the vaccine until the middle of next year. So it's we're seeing an ugly thing in terms of the distribution of this, and those with the money are going to get it first. That's just the way it's going to work.
You know, and so even though there is light at the end of the tunnel, it's something to look forward to. Answer me this question, Brian: how are they going to keep people off the streets of New York City on New Year's Eve? I think that's going to be hard. Even though they're telling people not to come, they're still going to do the ball drop, and I think they're going to have a lot. I still think they're going to have people show up.
Could be, but I was in New York a couple of times last week, and I would say it's about 98% mask compliant, and people are paying close attention in New York. Now they've shut down the restaurants. This is going to be one of those at-home New Year's Eves. It'll be good for the TV ratings, I guess, but and we'll all watch A Wonderful Life once again, but I don't know. I think the New Yorkers that I've seen and talked to don't plan to be out there. I think this is one of those years that is going to be different than any other year in our recent memory. And we have to remember we're living in such historic times to go back and take a look at what we did, who our president was, how we reacted. And then, you know, in the middle of all this, one thing more I want to raise with you, Marshall, is this incredible hack by the Russians into so many of our government computer networks. While we were all worried about Russia and the election, and no one was ever trying to downplay the impact of the Russians and make nice with Putin, his operatives were stealthily going in and successfully infiltrating dozens, if not hundreds, of key government computer networks. They're in there, and they've done such a good job that the experts are saying it'll be very hard to figure out where they are exactly, because they've had enough time to cover their tracks.
Well, you look at it, that's one of the things that when you change the head of the FBI, the head of the intelligence agencies, when you do all this stuff willy-nilly very quickly, well, these are when your adversaries say, you know what, this is a time to do something subversive.
And they did, and they were successful, and you know, from a point of view of espionage, it's one of the great intelligence failures in recent history. With all the money being spent by this country to detect that sort of thing, it was completely missed.
It's amazing. And now you do have members of the House and Senate saying, don't replace the FBI director. This is not a time to fire the FBI director. But, you know, the Senate and the House are so dysfunctional, I just don't know how strong they are. I mean, they're having trouble putting together an economic package to help Americans.
I know, and it looks like there will finally be something, perhaps by the end of the day tomorrow. They have to pass a bill tomorrow to keep the government running so they could extend it a little bit more. But they're now talking about checks directly to individuals without the aid to state and local governments, and without what the Republicans want is a liability waiver for companies that can't be sued because of pandemic issues. I think they've decided in Washington that the economy is in such fragile shape that they need to pass the what they call the stimulus, which could probably involve direct paychecks to millions and millions and millions of Americans.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it all runs out and develops out over the course of time, and we'll see what happens. Brian, it's always great to talk with you, and we'll check with you again next week.
You bet. Thanks for having me on the Breakfast Club. It's been a great year to do it, and stay safe and shovel out, and we'll talk next week.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Brian Ross with Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find it at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.